We are saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. We are saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Nothing I'm going to say today is going to change that in any direction. Nothing. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. What He did on the cross when He died, He took the punishment for our sins. So Jesus died as our sin offering. Jesus died as our sin offering. And salvation is a conditional gift. It is a free gift, but it is a conditional gift. In other words, there are certain conditions we need to meet in order to receive that gift. Those conditions are conditions of receiving and not of achieving. They are conditions of receiving and not of achieving. We have to do them, but they do not earn us anything. This is the way we receive God's gift. Last week, we talked about three of them: faith, repentance, and confession. And I think we showed you from Scripture that these are conditions that were related to Jesus as sin offering. These are conditions that are related to Jesus as sin offering. Now today we want to talk about baptism. And baptism is the fourth condition that you have to meet to be saved. It is the most controversial. If you want to be really confused, just try to figure out what all the different churches teach about baptism. Some of them teach you need to be baptized as a baby. Some of them teach you have to be a believer before you can be baptized. Some of them believe you're baptized by sprinkling. Some of them believe you're baptized by immersion. And you can just go on and on and on with different perspectives. Some of them believe you're baptized in water, and one or two churches that don't believe in water baptism. They believe it's all spiritual. And so you can find anything you want to know about baptism. You can take any position you want to take. What I want us to do is to go back to the Bible and just use the Bible. And I want to talk about baptism. I'm going to talk about baptism from the Bible. And I'm going to say that it relates to Jesus as sin offering. Now, the only way to know what the Bible teaches about baptism is to study what the Bible teaches about baptism. That's about the silliest statement I can possibly make. I mean, anybody who begins to learn how to study the Bible, one of the first methods you learn on how to study the Bible is by a topical method. There are a lot of different methods you can study: by books of the Bible, by chapters of the Bible, by biographical characters of the Bible. There are a lot of different ways to study the Bible, but one of the ways is to study Bible topics. And if you begin to learn to study the Bible, one of the first things you learn to use is a concordance. So you would look up in the concordance this particular word, and the concordance would tell you every time that word is used in the Bible. And if you want to know what the Bible teaches about baptism, you need to study what the Bible teaches about baptism. Even though I feel silly to keep saying that, I want to say it one more time. If you want to know what the Bible teaches about baptism, you need to study what the Bible teaches about baptism. You cannot study scriptures that don't even mention baptism and come to some conclusion about baptism. If the scripture I am studying does not mention baptism, it won't help me understand what the Bible says about baptism. Now, on any other subject, everybody accepts that. If I wanted to study about angels, I would study every scripture that mentions angels in the Bible. That's what I'd do. If I wanted to study about the second coming of Jesus, I'd study every scripture in the Bible that has to do with the second coming. But for some strange reason, when we get ready to study about baptism, we study other scriptures and say, well, that scripture didn't mention baptism. And you say, yep, it didn't mention it. Sure enough, it's not there. People are telling me all the time, John 3:16 doesn't mention baptism. And it doesn't. And there's not one thing you can learn about baptism from John 3:16. It doesn't talk about baptism. If you want to know what the Bible teaches about baptism, you've got to study what the Bible teaches about baptism. Now, And I'm not trying to be argumentative. I'm not trying to be elementary. I'm trying to just say, let's study what the Bible says about baptism. And I believe the Bible teaches that baptism relates to Jesus as sin offering. That baptism relates to Jesus as sin offering. And if it relates to Jesus as sin offering, then it is a condition of salvation. If it relates to Jesus as sin offering, then it is a condition of salvation. But it must relate to Jesus. So our primary question in this sermon is going to be, does baptism in the Bible relate to Jesus as sin offering? Now, I could preach about baptism as immersion instead of sprinkling. And I think we can prove it from the scriptures that baptism in the Bible is immersion in water, not sprinkling. We could talk about at the time in your life when you're baptized. I believe we can prove from scripture that you should be baptized as a believer in Jesus, not as a baby. I think we can prove that scripturally. But I'm not going to talk about that. Today what I'm going to talk about is that Bible baptism relates to Jesus as sin offering, and because it does, it is a condition of salvation. Everybody with me on what I'm trying to do? Some of you already know you're going to disagree with me, but that's okay. You at least understand what I'm trying to do, where I'm trying to go. Now, let me just go back and review. I believe the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, sufficient Word of God and our only rule of faith and practice. I believe the Bible is inspired by God. I believe it is inerrant in its original autographs. In other words, everything God inspired is exactly right. There are no mistakes there. In the original that they wrote, there's no mistakes. It is inerrant. I believe it is sufficient. It has everything we need to know about God. It has everything we need to know about our relationship with God. I don't need the Bible plus some other book. I don't need the Bible plus what the church has taught over the years. All I need is the Bible. It is sufficient. It is our only rule of faith and practice. We do not determine what is right for our Christianity by adding to the Bible something else. And there have been a lot of other good stuff. In fact, to tell you the truth, as I studied this, I found out that almost every Bible-believing scholar who lived for the first 1,500 years after the church was born agrees with me that salvation relates, baptism relates to salvation. Even Martin Luther, you can find quotes from Martin Luther who relates baptism to salvation. And it's not till you get to Zwingli or whatever his name is, ZW or whatever, Zwingli, that you get away from baptism being related to salvation. All the way up to that, Bible-believing Christians and Bible-believing teachers taught that baptism was in some way related to our salvation. Does the Bible relate baptism to Jesus' death on the cross? Does the Bible, not churches, not denominations, your denomination, my denomination, your preacher, my preacher, I'm not talking about that. And somebody left my church one time because I said, I'm not interested in what your grandmama said, I'm interested in what the Bible said. And they got mad at me and left the church because I had said something against their grandmother. I didn't even know their grandmother. I mean, I wasn't trying to say anything against their grandmother. All I'm trying to say is the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. It is not what I've been taught. It is not what my favorite preacher says. It is not what my denomination says. It is not what my mama said or my daddy said. It's not what I believe. It's what the Bible says. And the Bible relates baptism to Jesus' death on the cross as he died as our atoning sacrifice. And atoning sacrifice, the Bible word for that is propitiation. The Bible word for that is propitiation. Propitiation is used in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. It's a big word, and I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing it right. But it has to do with the atoning sacrifice, that Jesus made a sacrifice for our sins when he died on the cross. Everybody with me? Don't lose me. When Jesus died on the cross, he made a sacrifice. And his sacrifice atoned for our sins. That means that God the Father accepted his sacrifice as sufficient payment for our sins. So he's our propitiation. He's our propitiation in that he was the one who made the sacrifice, and he's our propitiation in that he acted as a high priest to do that. So the Bible, I believe, relates baptism to Jesus as sin offering, and we're going to keep saying that over and over and over and over and over and over, that baptism is related to Jesus as sin offering. Okay. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And he, meaning Jesus, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Stop right there. Tell me what he go to preach. The gospel. According to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. So Jesus tells his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Then he says, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Now, without being argumentative or mean or whatever, I want us to look for this, for 2 or 3 minutes here, I want us to look just at this text. I don't want you to think about what you knew. I don't want you to think about what you were taught all your life. I don't want you to think about what you believe. I just want you to say, look at this text. What does this text say? And I want you to tell me, according to this text, who's going to be saved? According to this text, who's going to be saved? You tell me. Those who believe and baptize. That's what the text says, right? I believe the Bible is the only rule of faith and practice. I believe it is sufficient. I believe it is always right. It is never wrong. And in this particular text, it says if I'm going to be saved, I got to do what? Believe and be baptized. That's what it says. Now, who's going to be condemned? According to the text, who's going to be condemned? Those who don't believe. Now, as far as we are concerned, this is the only two groups of people that it talks about. Jesus tells his disciples, go preach the gospel. He who believes and baptizes is going to be saved. He who does not believe is going to be condemned. That's the only two groups, right? You see any other group there? That's the only two groups. What is this text? What does this text say about a person who believes in Jesus but has never been baptized? What does this text say about it? Nothing. So can I go to this text and figure out what's going to happen to a person who believes in Jesus 10 years ago and have never been baptized? No. Doesn't say anything about it. Doesn't say anything about it. It talks about two groups of people. One group's going to be saved. What do they have to do? They believe and be baptized. One group's going to be condemned. What do they have to do? Disbelieve. That's the only two groups it talks about. That's it. And I used to, when I like to argue, I don't like to argue now, I avoid arguments, believe it or not. But when I used to like to argue, I used to argue about this text all the time. And people would tell me all kinds of things. They would say, well, you know what? It says those who believe and are baptized are going to be saved, but it does not say those who disbelieve and are not baptized are going to be lost. No, it doesn't. You know why it doesn't? If you don't believe in Jesus, you can't be baptized biblically. If you don't believe in Jesus, you can't be baptized biblically. Because baptism is an act of faith. And if you don't have that faith, all they're doing is dunking you. That's all. I went to a church one time, and the preacher quoted this scripture. Quoted it. I mean, he had it memorized. He quoted the scripture, and then he said, but we know what it really means is, he who has believed and has been saved will be baptized. And I wanted to say, how do I know that? Where did I get that information? That it means something different than what it said. If it doesn't mean what it says, what does it mean? If it doesn't mean what it said, I can come up with all kinds of stuff that it could mean. I think it means what it says. And what it says is, if I'm going to be saved, I got to do what? Believe and be baptized. That's what it says. And it relates to Jesus as sin offering because he said, go preach the gospel, and the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, this was the first time the gospel had been preached in its fullness. What I mean by that is, gospel means good news, and Jesus came and he preached the good news and all that. But the gospel as defined by the Bible is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This was the first time that the gospel had been preached since Jesus had died, had been buried, and had been resurrected. And I believe Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And when he told them about Jesus, the sermon was about Jesus. He quoted Old Testament scriptures and he talked about Jesus. And he said, "You need to know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." And it seems like the crowd interrupted him and said, "What shall we do? We need to know for certain. We need to believe in Jesus. What do we do now?" And Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, told him to do two things. What two things did he tell him to do? Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ. The reason we're saved is Jesus. The reason we're saved is Jesus. That's the only reason we're saved. Jesus is sin offering. He died on the cross. He took the punishment for our sins. He became our propitiation, which means what? Atoning sacrifice. So Jesus became our atoning sacrifice. He died on the cross. But now these people are being told, you need to repent and be baptized. Why? Because they are conditions of salvation. You repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper. And in that text, Jesus said, "This is my blood which was shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." So when Jesus died on the cross, he died for the forgiveness of our sins. Now people are being told, you need to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Why? Because repentance and baptism relates you to the death of Jesus on the cross. That's why. That's the only reason for it. It relates you to Jesus as sin offering. And if it did not relate you to Jesus as sin offering, it would not be necessary. So baptism relates you to Jesus as sin offering. Acts 8:12. When they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. When they believed Philip's preaching about Jesus, what happened to them? What did they do? They were baptized. In the Bible, there's one exception. I'll give you that exception in a minute. But in the Bible, you cannot find an unbaptized believer. One exception, I'm going to give it to you in a minute. Everybody else, when they believed in Jesus, they were baptized. And whenever the Bible mentions anything about the time, they were baptized immediately. When they became believers in Jesus, they were baptized. Sometimes in Acts 16, they were baptized the same hour of the night. Now, the one exception was a man named Saul, who later became Paul, who's Chuck's hero, right? Guess how long he waited from the time he became a believer in Jesus until he was baptized? 3 days. 3 days. I've met people who've been believers in Jesus for 20 years and have never been baptized. Paul went 3 days. He was named Saul then. He went 3 days. Guess what they told him at the end of 3 days? "Why do you delay? Get up and be baptized." That's what they told him. When a person became a believer in Jesus, he was baptized. That's just the way it happened in the New Testament. So you can't find. Somebody asked me, "Well, what about the person who believes in Jesus and never been baptized?" And I don't know, because I use the Bible as my authority. And the only thing I can say, if you believe in Jesus, you've never been baptized, I'd say the same thing to you that Ananias said to Paul, get up and do it. Get up and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 8:22. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know whether we need to sit around arguing about whether you're saved or you're not saved. The fact is, you need to be baptized. Because baptism relates you to Jesus as sin offering. Look at Acts 8:35 and 36. Acts 8:35 and 36. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning from this scripture, stop right there just a minute. Anybody know what this scripture is? Anybody know what they were reading? Isaiah 53. Do you know what Isaiah 53 talks about? It is a prophecy 700 years in advance about Jesus as being sent offering. That's what it talks about. That he took the punishment for our sins. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity or the sin of us all to fall on him. So the whole chapter, in fact, it begins in chapter 52. Goes all the way through Isaiah 53. That talks about Jesus' sin offering. 700 years before he comes, he's going to die for our sins. He's going to take the punishment for our sins. He's going to do this for us. He's going to do this for us. So he began at that scripture that talks about the Messiah coming and being sin offering. What does the next phrase say? He began at that scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And the Acts 8 passage doesn't say anything else about his sermon. All we know about it, he started with Isaiah 53, which talks about the Messiah coming and being a sin offering. That's where he started, it says. He began with the same scripture and he preached Jesus. That's all it says. We don't know what else he said. Doesn't tell us. The very next verse, as they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" Why would he mention baptism? Where did he get that from? He said, well, maybe he got it from the Old Testament. It's not in there. You take your concordance when you get home and you look up baptism, you won't find it in the Old Testament. I had somebody one time that heard me preach about baptism was immersion instead of sprinkling. And so they mailed me a book. They mailed me a book that was supposed to prove that baptism was sprinkling. And every passage they used was from the Old Testament. And baptism is not even mentioned in the Old Testament. Not even one time. It's never mentioned. How can I know what the Bible says about baptism unless I study what the Bible says about baptism? I can't figure it out by studying what the Bible says about other stuff. I can't figure out baptism is sprinkling because somebody in the Old Testament sprinkled blood on the doorposts. He's not talking about baptism. He's talking about sprinkling blood. But he began with the same scripture, Isaiah 53, that talks about Jesus as a substitutionary atonement for our sins, as a sin offering, and he preached Jesus, and as a result of doing that, the person wanted to be baptized. And when I listen to preachers on the radio and on the TV, and when I read those books, I got all those books in my office, most of them say baptism not important. Doesn't make any difference. You need to do it, but it's not really a big deal. You know, just do it when you get around to it. Ain't no big deal. Here was a man traveling in a deserted area. And when he heard the story of Jesus, the first question he had is, can I be baptized? The first question. By the way, Philip did baptize him. He didn't tell him to pray and ask Jesus into his heart. He baptized him. Okay? Romans 6, 3 and 4. What I'm trying to do with the whole sermon is to show you from the Bible that baptism is related to Jesus' sin offering. Salvation is found in Jesus. That's where you get your salvation. That's the power for your salvation. It's in Jesus. All I'm trying to do is show you in this sermon is that baptism relates you to Jesus as sin offering. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus? Stop right there. According to the text, not according to what you know, not according to what your preacher said, not according to what your daddy taught you, I want to know from this text, the first part of this text, the second line on the screen, how do I get into Christ? How? I'm baptized into Christ. Where is salvation? In Christ, right? So here I am baptized into Christ. Salvation is in Christ. Let me ask you a silly question. And I know it's silly. But I want you to try to answer it anyway. If I am baptized into Christ, where am I before I'm baptized? Wow. Wow. Did you mean to say that? If I am baptized into Christ, before I'm baptized, I am not in Christ. If I was already in Christ, I wouldn't be baptized into Christ. Do you not know that all of us, including Paul, all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death? Where did He make His atoning sacrifice? In death. Where did He become our propitiation? Death. How do I connect with His death according to this text? Baptism. I am baptized into His death, where He shed His blood and where I meet the blood and the blood is applied to me. I have been buried with Him, that's immersion, been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. In other words, I die spiritually myself when I become a Christian. Galatians 3:26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Let's stop right there and think about that a minute. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You know what? I believe that. We are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. If you were to make a topical study, we make a topical study today of baptism, not all the passages, but a lot of them. But if you make a topical study of salvation and figure out what I need to do, most obvious answer for us every time is faith, 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 faith. Sometimes it says repentance, sometimes it says confession, sometimes it says baptism, most of the time it says faith. Sometimes it says faith and baptism. Sometimes it says faith and confession. Sometimes it says repentance and baptism. But faith is the key issue in accepting Christ. I am saved by my faith in Jesus. That's what it says right here. I'm sons of God through faith. What's the next word? For. All of you who are baptized into Christ. Whoa. You mean the Bible says it twice? That I'm baptized into Christ? If I'm baptized into Christ, where was I before baptism? Outside of Christ. Where is salvation? In Christ. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You see, when God judges me on what I'm going to heaven or hell, my only hope, the only hope I have for heaven is that I am clothed in Jesus Christ, and when God looks at me, He's going to see the righteousness of Christ instead of the sinfulness of Lee. When was I clothed with Christ, according to this text? When? When I was baptized into Christ. Okay? Baptism is not why you're saved, but baptism is when you're saved. Now, I already know somebody's about ready to shoot me. But you know what? I think I just showed that from Scripture. Now, I want to tell you, I can't show that so much from church history. I can't show that from the preachers I listen to on TV. But the Bible says that I'm baptized into Christ. I am baptized into His death. The Bible says that I repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Am I saved before my sins are forgiven? No. Baptism is related to Jesus as sin offering. Baptism is one of the conditions of salvation. It is an expression of our faith in Jesus. It is the time our sins are forgiven. It is related to Jesus as sin offering, and therefore a condition of salvation. It is related to Jesus as sin offering, and therefore a condition of salvation. When a person is baptized, he's looking to Jesus. He's not looking to the water. There's no power in the water. He's not looking to the person who's baptizing. I had somebody come to me one time and said, Lee, this preacher baptized me, and later he fell away from Christ and left the church and all that. I'm not even sure he was saved when he baptized me. Should I be baptized over? Not important who baptized you. The important part is your heart, not their heart. Your heart. That's what counts. You need to look to Jesus for your salvation. Have you been baptized the way the Bible prescribes? Now, I understand, I really do, that most of you, or many of you, have been taught something entirely different all your life. Years ago, when I liked to argue, and won all these arguments and lost all these prospects. But anyway, when I used to like to argue, I had somebody come and say, no, baptism is not for the forgiveness of sins. You're not baptized into Christ. I said, well, then why are you baptized? This particular fellow said, you're baptized into the church. You're baptized into the church. I said, show me. Show me. Well, Lee, that's what my church, I don't care what your church teaches. Excuse me. Didn't mean to be that mean. I'm more interested in what the Bible teaches. I can't find it anywhere I'm baptized into the church. Nowhere. If you know where it is, tell me. You don't have to be mean to me. You don't have to put me down and make fun of me. Just show me, guys. I like to know. I showed you twice where you're baptized into Christ, didn't I? Romans 6 and Galatians 3. I don't find one time where I'm baptized into the church. If I'm going to use the Bible as my authority, my only rule of faith and practice, I need to use the Bible as my authority. Baptism is important. It is not the most important thing. The most important thing is Jesus. Faith in Jesus. That's what's most important. Because baptism is just an act of faith. That's all it is. But it is important in the fact that Jesus said, do it. And inspired writers connects it with Jesus as sin offering. And if it's connected with Jesus as sin offering, it is a condition of salvation. If you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized in the way the Bible prescribes.